we're still young. Amen? For me, it was a long time ago, brothers and sisters. And being young is not something easy, right? Was it easy for you to be 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19? Do you remember those years? And I praise God that there are people who are able to work with our youth. Amen? Amen. And Hermain and Ben, our Bible workers, have done amazing with our youth. Together with Solomon and Mindy and Pastor Harper now is coming on board, helping with our young people. They form this team, and they're coming to events like Vespers. Amen? They're coming to do mission outreach. Amen? And what they have done with our young people throughout these months, in encouraging them to know Jesus, encouraging them to come to this beautiful place called church, to be part of this family. I don't have words to thank Ben and Hermain for the work that they have been doing together with Solomon and Mindy and so many of the parents that bring their children to this church. And today, as a church here at Fallbrook, we give our Bible workers the opportunity to share a message that God has put on their heart, an experience that many churches don't give their young people. But praise the Lord that Fallbrook does give young people the opportunity to speak the word of God, to share the word of God and what they see. And at his young age, you will hear today a powerful message. I know you will be blessed to hear what Hermain Rodriguez, what God has put in your heart. And again, we are thankful and grateful for what you, together with Ben, have been doing here at our church. And I know that God will use you mightily today. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. Good morning. Happy Sabbath, church. I just wanted to thank the church for the support you guys have given us and the youth. It's been a blessing being here. It was a short time, but who knows, maybe I won't share much. Okay, let's get started. Thank you, Pastor, for sharing your pulpit. It's a blessing for me to be up here and sharing the Word of God with you guys. Before we start, let's start with one more word of prayer, and then we'll begin. Father in heaven, as we dive into your Word, Lord, as we look into this message, I pray, Lord, that you may erase my thoughts. Lord, that you may erase my words. Let them be yours and yours only, Father. Hide me behind the cross. And Lord, let us all leave blessed, Father, this Sabbath. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you look in the bulletins, the title for today's message is entitled The Purpose of Trials. The Purpose of Trials. Now, when I was a young Christian, I wish I had known that we would have trials when we give our lives to God. I wish I would have had a better understanding of trials in the Christian walk. I wish I would have known how to take on trials. It would have saved me from a lot. So today I'm privileged to be able to share this message with you, the purpose of trials. I have a story to begin with. I was Bible working in El Centro last year. How many of you guys have ever been to the Imperial Valley? It's hot over there. Average is about 118 in the summer, so it's a hot place. It's only 2 hours away from here. I was Bible working there last year, and I got called to help in the San Diego Academy here to share some testimonies about Youth Rush and to speak and give a worship. And so I went. It was one of my days that I was over there. I drove 2 hours over here, and I was sharing with the Academy. I shared some testimonies about Youth Rush, and after that, it was with one of my friends from the conference. After that, we went for a little celebration, and we had some really good, we skipped breakfast, so we had brunch. We went to a pancake house. How many of you guys have ever been to a pancake house? My goodness, their portions were huge. It's part of the reason why I love San Diego so much. They have good selection of food and vegan food as well, vegetarian. But this place had huge portions. It was amazing. We didn't even finish it all. Anyway, so he packs it up. He's like, here, you can take my leftovers. And I love having leftovers when I go have a big breakfast or lunch because then I can save it for dinner and lunch, and then I'm good. So I was happy. I was driving back home after this, and as you start going, as you start getting close to the Imperial Valley, you start heading down these winding roads. I was driving down there, and then I got to the point where I was about 30 minutes away, 30 minutes away from arriving to my destination, and there was a semi in front of me. And as that semi is going, it's a little bit slower, so what do? You just go onto the other lane, just pass it over. As I turned, I started to drive, and then out of nowhere, I heard something hitting my windows from the car. I was driving, and out of nowhere, I just hear like, and I look, and I see like black chunks and little black pieces flying on my window, and I was like, whoa, this semi's tires are popping. I'm getting out of here. So I floored a little bit, and I start going. And guess what happens? As I'm driving and driving, I thought I got away from what seemed like the semi's tires were popping. But I started driving, and immediately, and my car slants like this a little bit. That was my tire. And let me show you a picture. Okay. So it wasn't just a flat tire. My whole entire tire was ripped apart. Can we get a zoomed in picture of that one? There it is. How many of you guys have ever had that happen to you before? Okay, I can relate with you. So that was my tire. How many of you guys here have ever dealt with an unreliable car before? It is not fun, right? Not at all. This car was terrible. I got rid of it. It was bad. But for this to happen was just another added thing with things that it was giving me already problems with. You know what happens? Is I get off, and what came to mind was, God, I just came from serving you. I was doing your work. And now this. How many of you guys have ever had that before? Where you're in ministry, or you say, God, I am a Christian. I am following you. God, I am doing what you told me to do. Why is this happening to me right now? As I was thinking, quickly caught myself and I said, no, you cannot go your Christian walk. Your entire Christian walk, blaming every single trial on God. Is fire good or bad? It what? It depends, right? Fire will melt ice, but it will also strengthen the clay. The same with trials. So I got over there and I started changing my tire. And I told the church what happened. And to my surprise, they asked me, do you know how to change a tire? I was a little offended. I was like, whoa, hold on, how do we not? It's a tire change. But apparently it's rare. I do know how to change a tire. I do know how to change my oil. I can't take care of the basic things. But that's what happened to me. The Christian will go through trials every often, and there's a purpose to them. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. And when you're there, let me hear a happy, hearty, awake, amen. If you're not there yet, say mercy. All right. I'm there with you. Mercy. Mercy, mercy. If you're there, say amen. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Acts is near the end, Acts chapter 14. We're looking at verse 22. It says, strengthening the souls of the what? Disciples. Exhorting them to continue in the what? Faith. Now, question, based off of what you just read right now, do you think the following words are going to be words of encouragement or discouragement? Or encouragement, right? Let's keep reading. So it says, he's exhorting them to continue in the faith. And he says this, we must through many what? Tribulations. All right, pause right there. Don't read it. I hope you guys did not finish the verse. What are some ways that God saves us? You guys can answer. Go ahead. What else? Yes, by his death on the cross, right? What else? By what?
Being beaten.
Being beaten. He took a beating for us. Amen? Listen to what this verse says. Listen to how it finishes off. It's ordering them in the faith, to continue in the faith, saying we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. You guys catch that? In other words, when the Christian goes through trials, it is necessary. Because through much tribulation, what happens? We will make it into the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. I wish I would have known this when I was younger. I wish I would have known that there's a purpose to trials. I wish I would have known that God wasn't against me. But praise God, I'm still here. Amen? And I share this message with you today. Turn your Bibles to the book of Job. Go to the book of Job chapter 1. We're looking at the book of Job chapter 1. How many of you guys are familiar with the book of Job? All of us, right? Job chapter 1. Starting in verse 6. When you're there, say amen. If you're not there yet, say mercy. Okay, I hear two or three. Wait a little bit more. All right. Job chapter 1, verse 6, it says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you what? Considered my servant Job. My servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. So Satan answered and said to the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, also around his household and around all that he has on every side? Have you blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land? But now, stretch forth your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Okay, so what's going on here? There's a dialogue going on, right? God, Satan, they're talking. So here come the young men. They present themselves before the Lord. And who else comes with them? Satan. So here's God. He questions them. What are you doing here? What did you tell them? I'm going to and fro the earth. And what's God's response? Okay. Well, have you considered my servant, Job? That's interesting, right? God just puts him on blast. Have you considered Job, blameless, upright, someone who shuns evil? Have you considered him? And then Satan tells him, it's only because, you know, the only reason why he's following you is because you protected him. He's prosperous. He's rich. Look at him. He has your hedge of protection on him. But I bet if you take that away, God, if you take that away, I bet he'll curse your face. What happens next? We know that he loses. He starts to lose all his possessions, right? The oxen, donkeys, dead. Verse 16, we'll continue there. It says, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them up. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Verse 17, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels and took them away. Yes, and killed the servants with the edge of the sword. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Now, he's starting to lose his possessions, right? How many of you guys have ever lost something very valuable? Does it feel good? No, right? Here's Job. He's losing all his possessions, all of his animals. In verse 18, here's what happens. In verse 18, it says, while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. And suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house. And it fell on the young people, and they are dead. And I alone have escaped to tell you. Now, question, if you were in Job's position, how would you feel? Did you feel good, warm? You just lost your kids. How many of us are parents here? I'll put my hand down. I'm not a parent. You know, my mom always told me this. She said, when she would correct me, then she would always tell me, after she would correct me or get me in trouble, and I did not like this. I would get so mad when she would say this right after. She would always tell me, I'm doing this because I love you. And you know, that's a parent right there, right? When I would get in trouble, that's the last thing I wanted to do. That's the last thing I would believe for my mom. But you know what she told me? Until this day, it resonates with me. She said, you will never understand how much we love you until you have kids of your own. How many of you guys have ever been told that? It's a common thing to hear, huh? Well, I don't have kids yet, but in the future, I'll preach a sermon again and it'll be updated. But for now, Job lost his children. Now, the connection that I have with that is the love that my mother showed to me. I can't imagine how devastated my mom would be if she was to lose her children. Now, imagine Job hearing news, bad news after bad news after bad news, and then bam, by the way, your kids are dead. That's heavy stuff. And then look what happens next. Verse 20. Then Job arose, tore his robe, and shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped, and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall return. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Some trial that he went through. And in the midst of that, Job still blessed God's name. How many of us, I mean, I would like to have this strength, this just trust in God, that even if everything is taken away from me, I can still say, blessed be your name, God. Chapter 2, we're starting in verse 3. The same thing happens. God and Satan start to talk. He tells them, what are you doing here? Satan tells them the exact same thing. I'm going to and fro. Listen to what God says again. Verse 3, it says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you what? What does that word considered mean? The definition, to put thought about. To think about before you make the decision. So God here is telling Satan, have you considered my servant, who? Job. that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil, and still he holds fast to his integrity, although you enticed me against him to destroy him without cause. Verse 4, so Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. Verse 5, but stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. Pretty tragic, right? Job is, in just a matter of a few verses, he's going through quite a lot, right? That's pretty overwhelming. So what's happening here? There's the dialogue, God and Satan. Satan tells him, I'm going to and fro. God tells him, have you what? Considered my servant Job. Why am I sharing this? Purpose of trials. Whenever we as Christians go through something, God has told Satan, have you considered my servant from Fallbrook? Have you considered my servant? God has considered you. God has put thought. God has you in mind. And when a trial comes, just like Job, it is a privilege that God considers you and deems you worthy to go through that trial. Amen? God has already considered you. God has thought about you. And that is something encouraging. There's this thing called, some of you guys have probably heard of it. How many of you guys have heard of the five love languages? Yes, acts of service, gifts, quality time, physical touch, and words of affirmation. I got all five. Okay, good. I don't know about you guys, but my love language is words. I love words. I think, again, going to my mom, she would always tell me, I love you, and she would always, I guess it came from her. But what a privilege to know that God considers, that God has put careful thought into us. That is a great encouragement. That strengthens me to continue in my Christian walk. God has considered us. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. We're going to 1 Peter. First point that we saw is that Job went through trials, but he went through that because God considered him. He deemed him worthy, just like Job, to go through those trials. 1 Peter. Going to 1 Peter. It's towards the back. 1 Peter chapter 4. And when you're there, let me hear awake, amen. If you're not there yet, say mercy. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. And it says this, beloved, do not think it what? Strange. Concerning the what? Fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. What do we do when we go through trials? First, it says to do what? Rejoice. Think it not strange. In other words, don't think it's a strange thing when these things happen to you. This verse would have saved me a whole lot when I was a young Christian. It is not a strange thing. Why? Verse 13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Okay, this verse is saying to rejoice when you're struggling. Naturally speaking, does that make sense? How many of you guys have ever prayed this prayer? God, help me to be a better Christian. God, this is hard. I need your help. I'm struggling. Or, Lord, give me more patience. Especially on the freeway right here, it's pretty crazy traffic. Or, Lord, help me to be stronger. And then you know what happens? Is when a trial comes along, you know what often happens? And I find myself doing this. God, why am I going through this? I can just imagine God saying, what do you mean? I'm answering your prayer. Did you not pray for patience? Did you not pray for strength? This trial is the thing that's going to help you grow. Why should we rejoice? Why does this verse say rejoice? If we want to be like Jesus, we need to partake in the sufferings too. Do we want part of Jesus or Jesus in his totality? I've caught myself, told myself, you want to be like Jesus, but you don't want to suffer like him? No. The struggle itself, church, is God's answer to our prayers. To become more like him, the struggle is part of it. Did Jesus struggle? Yes. But you know what? It wasn't all struggle. The verse in the end says that you may be glad with exceeding joy. That's when his glory is revealed. You know what I love about being a Christian? Is that it doesn't matter what's going to happen on this world, church. Doesn't. We know how the story ends. We know who wins. Ellen White said this in her first writing. It's in her early writings. It's one of the first books that I read from her. She says that once the saints are up in heaven, we're going to be given harps of gold. How many of you guys like to play an instrument here? Good. I look forward to singing. Knowing how to sing in heaven because it's not my best strength. She said the saints are going to be given harps of gold. And as we begin to play and sing, there's going to be a river of life. And she says, she describes it as there was a tree on one side and a tree on the other side of the river. And as I looked up, the tree connected and I realized that it was one. And as the saints are singing, there's two ministers from her time that died before I think she started to have these visions. They see the saints, and they come up to all the saints as they're singing, and they say, tell us what happened while we were resting. And they're saying, tell us what happened while we were asleep, while we were dead. We missed everything. We missed the time of the end. We didn't get to make it to that time, but you guys did. Tell us about it. We want to know what you guys went through. What were the tribulations? What did you guys go through to come here? You know what she says? She says, the saints of God, as they try to speak of their greatest trials and tribulations, nothing comes out of their mouth. They cannot. You know why? She says, because they looked around in heaven and they realized that the glory that they received was nothing compared to even their darkest trial here on earth. We are a privileged church. We, as an Adventist church, know how the story ends. Purpose of trials. God had considered us. He has considered you to prove Satan wrong. Second thing, we want to be like Jesus. Suffering like him is part of it. But that's not all of it. There's a great joy. Turn your Bibles to the last verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As we're coming to a close, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. One of the most encouraging verses that I could read in the Bible. It says, no temptation has what? Overtaken you, except such is as common to man. But God is what? God is what? God is what? Faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to. But with a temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. If Job could go through that, even if we go through something tougher than that, this verse is telling me that everything that we go through, God measures it, and he will not allow us to go beyond what we can take. How many of you guys have ever done bow and arrow? Ever done that? I just tried that for the first time, actually, a few weeks ago. Pathfinders were building some, and where's Troy at? Thanks, Troy. Taught me how to make a bow and arrow. So I tried it out. Pretty fun. I liked it. This is the story of Satan, and it's told that he has a bow and arrow. And his target is God's people. It's us. It's you and me. So he knows us. He knows just what to tempt us with. He pulls a bow and arrow. He selects what temptation, and he shoots it. Lets it go. And as it's coming to you, as this trial is coming right at you, remember what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, that there is no temptation that has overtaken you, but God is faithful to do what? He will give you a way of escape, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can handle. So as this dart is coming straight at you, before it hits you, you know what happens? God takes the arrow. He measures it. Say it's a 9. You're a 7. Before that gets to you, he measures it. He won't give you what you cannot handle. You know what he does with that? Sorry, Satan. It's not going to work. He shoots again. Lets it go. As it's coming to you, guess who stops it before? God grabs it. He measures it to 7. Measures you. You're a 7. I have considered my servant. He has considered you to prove Satan wrong. Threw this dart at him. Watch him prove you wrong. You know what he does? He gives it right to you. Because God knows. Above any of us, he knows what we can bear. Amen? He has measured it before any of us have even gone through any trial. In closing, the purpose of trial is for our salvation, as we saw in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Amen? There's this story that I saw, and I was scrolling through Pinterest. And they have some good Christian quotes at times there. I clicked on this image from someone who was a Christian that was posting. And it was a row of pictures. And as I was going down, it starts off with this group of people. And these are little stick figures. These are drawings of people that are carrying a cross. It's a group of like six people in the picture. And each of them have a cross to carry. And they're going in this just this empty dirt road. And as they're going through life, they're carrying their cross. This is describing the Christian walk. As they were going, the picture then to the next one, it zooms in on one of the individuals there. And one of the individuals, he has a little bubble, and he says something. As everybody's carrying the cross, he looks up, little bubble says, "God, this cross is too heavy. This is hard. I can't do it. Can you make it a little less heavy for me?" And the next picture shows, and it's him getting an axe, and he's cutting the cross. He starts cutting the cross, cutting the cross, cutting the cross, and he cuts off a chunk of it off. Cuts a chunk of it off. And as they're going, they're walking, walking, and again, the picture shows everybody now. Walking with the same size cross, and this individual has a little bit of a shorter cross. And they're going, and they're going, and the next picture then shows up, and it's him again zoomed up. You know what it says? Little bubble says again, "Oh, God, this is hard. This is heavy. Can you make my cross a little bit less light? Can you remove this from me?" The next picture shows, remember, it's not God that's doing this. It's him. He gets the axe. He starts cutting off another chunk of the cross. And he cuts it. Now the next picture shows, and it's everybody again, and they're all walking. This time, he has a very short cross. And everybody else is bearing their cross and bearing their cross. And it's kind of funny. It has some humor to it. It just shows him kind of walking and whistling. Has a little music symbols. He's just walking, whistling, enjoying his cross while everybody else is bearing it. You know what happens in the end of this? As they're walking, there's this abyss that they have to go through. Imagine this being the abyss. And this right here is the other side of where they're going to. They finish their walk. They're going through the Christian walk. And as they all look, they all wonder how they're going to get to the other side. You know what they all do? They take their cross, put it from point A, lands right on point B. And as all of them are walking, guess what? The individual who was chopping off his cross was too short. He wasn't able to make it. Acts chapter 14, verse 22 tells us that through much tribulation, we shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's a purpose to trials, church. We need to stand firm. We cannot let them get the best of us. We cannot let simple things get the best of our Christian walk. It is because of trials, not only because of trials, but they play a big part in our Christian walk. I want to look at trials differently. We can be like ice and let the trials consume us, or we can be like clay and let it strengthen us. How many of us want to be strengthened by that fire that is Jesus? I do too, church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, for the power that it has to change us. We know, Lord, that time is short. Clock is ticking. Help us to be faithful, Lord. There's people watching us. There's people that we can bring simply just by being faithful to you, Father. Help us to be those Christians that you intend us to be, Lord. Help us to go through the trials, Lord, and help us to be strengthened by them, not to be weakened and run away. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.